Continue my message in the book of Ecclesiastes and the search for happiness. Tonight, searching everywhere and finding nothing. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, and we're going to begin reading in verse 12, and when we're finished, we'll land in verse 11 of chapter 2. We're continuing this journey through what I consider a great book of the Bible. You know, we're right together here, Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, two great books of the Bible. Two great books of the Bible for us today, for our living for the Lord today, and in the life that we're supposed to be living. And the book of Proverbs, so much full of so much wisdom. And if we'd listen to Proverbs, and if we would read it, matter of fact, you ought to read a proverb every day. If you would read those things and listen to what the writer is saying, and let God fill your heart with what the writer is saying in the book of Proverbs, it'll change the way you live. It'll change the way you see things. It'll change the way you do things. It'll change the way you say things. Now you jump over to Ecclesiastes, and by the way, it's the same writer, same man's writing it, you see. But this time in the book of Ecclesiastes, he's writing from experience. You see, he's addressing a young generation. Solomon's up in years by the time he writes this book, this letter. And he's addressing that young generation. And it would do well for this generation, even this generation we live in today, would do well to listen to the wisest man that ever lived. Amen. Because what he wrote then to that young generation hits right home to our generation today. If they would just listen to the Word of God. If they would just listen to what he's saying. He's talking about things that's landing right in our day, in the day in which we live. People are still trying to find happiness in the same things today. But Solomon says you can't find it. You see, Solomon has learned some things in his life. By the time he writes this, he's reached the top, hasn't he? You see, Solomon had learned some things. He had made it all the way to the top. And you know what he came to realize when he got to the top? That at the top, it's empty. There's nothing here. It's vanity. If this is all of God, I've got nothing. Let me tell you, folks, if you're struggle in life, if your goal in life is to get as much of this life as you've got, you'll probably get it. And when you get it, you'll learn one thing. When you get there, there's nothing there. It's empty. It's vanity. He calls it vanity in this book that he writes. Now, in tonight's message, we find him looking everywhere he could look, in the things he had and in the people he had, and he looked everywhere, and he looked in many things, and he tried many things, and he went many places. And you know what he found out? There's nothing there. He uses this statement many times. Under the sun. If you're looking for things under the sun, if you're looking for satisfaction under the sun, you're not going to find it. You're not going to find it. Because Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, when he got away from God and began to search under the sun, he found an emptiness that only one thing could fill, and that was God himself. When he left God, listen, he found out that it was empty, was no good. Nothing came out of it. If you're searching for the things of this world, and by the way, if you think the things of this world is what's going to make you happy, then let me tell you something. You're going to spend a lot of time searching to come up with an empty box, to come up with an empty hope, to come up with nothing. You're going to spend, and I know many people who spends all their life and all the things they've got, and they search and they look and they hunt and they go everywhere and they'll go many places and they'll spend their life savings to go here and go there. But when they get back home, they're as empty as when they left. Oh, they may have had fun for a while, but the fun ended and it came up empty. Now, the only hope we have is not found in this world, but it is found in the things out of this world. Amen. Hey, we're to lay up treasures in heaven. We're to set our affections on things above. Amen. I mean, we're to seek those things that pleases God. We're to seek those things that honors God. And boy, when we do that, I have found out something in my life, that if I'll seek God and the things that honors God, my cup becomes full and my cup stays full. That with God, there's no emptiness, because God continually fills the cup up with His blessings. And many times that cup overflows, because that's the blessings of God. It's not found in things of the world. It's found in Jehovah God and the blessings that He brings upon us. Well, many people are searching everywhere. And are finding nothing. Now, let's look at our text tonight, and we will see the many places that Solomon tried to find meaning. Now, in verses 12 through 18 of chapter 1, he's looking for meaning and wisdom. He's the wisest man that's ever lived. Now, I want you to look what he says. Let's begin in verse number 12. He says here, I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. Now notice something here. He said, I was the king. I was on top of the world. I had it all. By the way, he says, listen, young people. He's talking to these young people. Listen, I reached the top. I was the king. I was the king of Israel in Jerusalem. I was the king. But you notice how he addressed himself? Now he's come back down to the preacher. You know why he's done that? Well, I studied on that. I thought, I wonder why he's now come from, he's still the king. Why has he come down from king to preacher? Because he needs to say something to the young people. He's got a message that he's got to get out to these people. You see, when he was on the top, listen, he failed God and he got in trouble. And so he come down. And he says, listen to me, what I've got to tell you. He says, I, the preacher, I was king. You see, but I've come down. There's some things you need to know. Now look here, verse 13. And I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. Verse 13, he as the king had tried to get wisdom by the things. Now, Solomon is the wisest man that ever lived, but he tries to get wisdom by the things that he had. And notice how he said it, by the things under heaven. Now, if you flip over to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. There's a couple of verses here I want you to read in Ecclesiastes 7 and chapter 8. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 25, he says this, I applied my heart to know and to search and to seek out wisdom and the reason of things and to know the wickedness of folly, even of foolishness and madness. He said, listen, I tried to figure these things out. And listen, hey, God gave him wisdom beyond wisdom, but yet there was things that he wasn't able to figure out. There was things that in his wise mind he still could not comprehend and he could not get a grasp of. You see, even though he tried, and he spent all his time. That's what he's talking about here. I gave my time to try to figure these things out. Let me tell you something, church, tonight. There is some things in your life you're not going to figure out why it's going on. There is some things in your life you're not going to understand why it's going on. There comes a time when you simply got to trust the God in who saved you and know that he's doing what's best for you and quit trying to figure out this mess. Just trust God, because he's promised to give us rest and he's promised to give us help. Let's don't try to figure it out. Let's trust God, who's given us all things. Huh? Amen. You see, Solomon trying to figure it out. Now look at chapter 8 and verse 16 and 17. He said, when I applied my heart to know wisdom and to see the business that is done upon the earth, for also there is that neither day nor night seeth sleep with his eyes, then I beheld all the work of God that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun. Because though a man labor to seek it out, yet he shall not find it. Yea, further, though a wise man think to know it, yet shall he not be able to find it. There's some things you just don't figure out. There's some things that's left into the hands of Almighty God. Amen. You know, we have things that happen and things come up and we wonder why this is going on, and maybe we even question God, and maybe you even ask people. I've had people ask me, why, preacher, am I going through what I'm going through? Why, preacher, is the devil so attacking me and not this one? I come to church every Sunday. This one comes halftime, and the devil don't seem to bother him at all, but the devil's laid up on me heavy. I don't have the answer to that question. All I know is you trust God, and God has promised to bring his children through on the other side. There's just some things that you and I cannot figure out. It's beyond me today to try to figure out how any woman could abort a baby. I just can't figure it out. I don't guess it's for me to figure out. There's just some things we just don't know why. But I'll tell you what it is. There's an evilness in this world. And if we're going to combat the evilness, we're going to have to stay in the Word. We're going to have to stay faithful to God's Word. Verse 14. I've got to go back to where I was at. Hold on. Verse number 14 of chapter 1. He said, I have seen all the works that are done under the sun. And behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. You see, He saw everything. Solomon tried everything. No doubt, you know, I thought about Solomon and his wisdom. No doubt he had acquired great books, wouldn't you think? No doubt he hired the greatest of teachers and educators. You see, I'm going to give you his worth here in just a little bit. He could do about what he wanted to. So no doubt he called in the great scholars of his day and the great educators of his day to help him try to figure out these things that were going on. No doubt he called him in and paid him great money, and he had great books to try to help him, and he had the best of knowledge that there was of that day. But you know what the final result was? What did he say? All is vanity and vexation of spirit. It just wasn't there. Hey, by the way, this word, vexation of spirit, means a grasping for the wind. Now, where he was just grasping at everything. Let me tell you something. Where his problem was, he was no longer looking to God. He was looking to his things. He was looking at his stuff. He was looking at the world's philosophy. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you want a mixed up head, you start listening to the world's philosophy. Hey, man. You want a mixed up bunch? You turn them loose in this world's philosophy. You know why many of our churches today are messed up? You know why many of our churches are confused? Hey, they're listening to the world's philosophy. I'm going to tell you, folks, many of these Bibles that they have written today is the world's philosophy. It's not God's philosophy. It's the world's philosophy. And boy, they're mixed up. Mixed up. There's mixed up preaching. And if you listen to it long enough, you'll be messed up. Amen? Because they're coming from the world's philosophy. Now, I'm going to tell you tonight that God's called preachers. The men that God calls to preach. Now, there's those that God calls and there's those that call themselves. Amen? But I'm going to tell you something about God's called men to preach the gospel. If He calls them, they'll preach the right book. And when they preach the right book, they won't want the world's philosophy, because the book will contradict the world's philosophy. They'll want God's philosophy, and they'll begin to seek God for the wisdom they need. And by the way, God will give His man the wisdom he needs, and God will tell him what to say, and God will tell him where to go, and God will tell him what to do. And when He does, God will shine like a great big light into the heart of that man and the people that are listening to him. Woo! Glory, hallelujah. And you notice I said man. I don't believe in women preachers. I'm not against you. Don't get mad at me. A lot of women does a lot of preaching. I don't think they're called, but do a lot of preaching. Amen. Oh boy. I wish JP is in here. I'd tell one on him. I'm going to tell one on him anyway. That's what he said now. You ladies get mad. You got to get mad at JP Mays, not me. See, he's not in here. We can talk about it. We're going against what I've been preaching against. But I ain't going to tell you now. Amen. Let's go. You see? He tried. He was looking. The final result was vanity and vexation of spirit. You see, the problem was he failed to seek God for his wisdom. He had asked God for wisdom, and by the way, God gave it to him, did he not? And now he's trying to find the joy in learning, and he has turned his mind not to God anymore. He's turned his mind to the world. And we find him mixed up. Now, when we turn our mind away from God, we may learn a lot of stuff. And we do learn a lot of stuff. But we will come up empty. Verse 15. That which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. Now, here's some things you found out. There is no way to straighten out the crooked. We can't straighten out the crooked. Amen. Solomon, in all his wisdom, couldn't straighten out the crooked. You see, that, he went on to say, that which is lacking cannot, we cannot give it what it needs. You see, we can't fill an empty heart. We can't give it what it needs. Only God can straighten things out, and only God can fill an empty heart. When you turn away from God, the empty remains empty, and the crooked remains crooked. But when God gets involved, He can straighten out anything crooked, and He can fill something up to the fullest. Amen. It belongs to God, not this world. Amen. That's what he's finding out. Belongs unto God. Verse 16, I commune with mine own heart, saying, lo, I am come to great estate, and have got more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. Now, notice in verse 16, some of the things he's saying here. He had gotten more wisdom. Now, why did he get more wisdom? Because he asked for it. Look here, 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 12 and 13. You know the story. It says, behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise unto thee. And I've also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. You see, God gave him the wisdom he asked. By the way, God gave him more than what he asked. And so he says, I communed with mine own heart. In other words, he's talking to himself, isn't he? Saying, lo, I'm come to great estate. He's looking back at the things he's got and the wisdom he received from God. And verse 17, he said, and I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is vexation of spirit. You see, verse 17, he gave all his time, he gave his heart, and probably lots and lots of money to try and figure out all the madness and folly. That's what he said in verse 16. All the madness and folly. Hey, what did he say? It was vanity. It was empty. I didn't come up with nothing. I still. He said, I still. Come up with nothing. We today need not spend all our time and our resources trying to figure out this mad world. Listen, if you try to figure out this world you live in, it won't be long. You'll be crazy. Amen? Because this world's a mess. Our healthcare system's a mess. Believe me, I've had firsthand experience. Well, I'm thankful to have health care. But I'm, you know, you really don't know if you got it or not. I had one question. I had to call the health care people. I had one question, just one question. I called at 2 o'clock, and at 15 after 5, I hung up. And I still don't know the answer to my question. Matter of fact, I'm more mixed up today than I was then. It's the world's philosophy. It's the world's wisdom. We're going to fix it. Hey, we're going to fix it. We're going to fix your problems. You listen to us. Let me tell you, throw that garbage in the garbage can and you listen unto God Almighty and He'll fix our problems. He'll take care of our situations and He'll help us. They have no idea what's going on. Amen. But I'm telling you, the Word of God does, and I've never found the Word of God to be wrong. I've always found it to be right, and I've always found it to fit in right where we live. Amen. You see, we need not spend all our time trying to figure out the mess of this world. We just need to give our time to God and let God figure it out. In verse 18, he said, for in much wisdom is much grief. And he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. Let me tell you what Solomon found out. He found out was the more he learned, the sadder things got. And the more of the world's wisdom he got, the sadder things looked. Let me tell you what, the more of this world's wisdom you'll get, the more you're going to figure out it's a sad situation in which you live. Amen. But God's word never changes. It's the same today that it was years ago. And if we're here 1,000 years, it'll be the same 1,000 years down the road as it is right now. It doesn't change. Amen. Hey, the more we learn about our world today, the sadder it gets. Now, we're going to jump over into chapter 2. And in verses 1, 2, and 3, he goes now from searching for meaning in wisdom. Now, that didn't work. Now he's going to search for meaning in pleasure. Look at verse 1. I said in mine heart, go to now, and I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore, enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. When education failed him, when all the philosophers and all the books couldn't answer his question, couldn't satisfy him. Instead of turning to God, the Bible tells us he turned to pleasure. You see, when education failed him, he turned to pleasure, to mirth. All the things he had in his house, from the valuable things to the people everywhere. He had servants, he had wives, he had concubines. He found it was no good either. You see, he was living, here it is, under the sun, living for the things under the sun. And he found them to be vanity as well. He goes on, verse 2, I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doth it? What does it accomplish? You know, I thought as I read this, he now turns to laughter, to comedy. You know what? I figure Solomon had a lot of entertainment, wouldn't you say? I say he called in the entertainers. I gotta have some happiness. I'm searching for happiness, I don't have it. I've lost my happiness. I've lost my joy. Somebody give it to me. No doubt he called in entertainers and called in the whatever to bring laughter to his heart and to his comedy. But he says that didn't work either. Did it? He could not find his satisfaction in laughter. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with laughing. I like to laugh and have a good time. I do. But laughter does not solve our problems. Or does laughter bring us to a better place? You see, when the laughter is gone and when the comedy is gone, you know what? The trouble still remains. Many people tonight are seeking to get rid of their problems in laughter. They're going out to these comedy shows. You know, I don't go to comedy shows. I don't know much about them. But I'm going to tell you what the world calls comedy is disgusting to a child of God. Amen? You can't watch a comedy on TV anymore. That ain't full of disgust and wrong and sin and ridicule. Cussing and homosexuality, and it's full of it. It ain't comedy, that's ridiculous. Amen. That's mockery, is what it is. It's mockery of the God that we serve today. Amen. We shouldn't have anything to do with that. It's not comedy. And by the way, you can watch that and laugh and hee haw around all you want to, but when it goes off, you're still in misery. Amen. You see, he couldn't find satisfaction in laughter. Proverbs 14:13, the Bible says, even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful. And the end of that mirth is heaviness. When it's all done and the laughter's gone, heaviness still remains. Now, this is for the man living under the sun. This is not for the man living above the sun. Because the man living above the sun, the man living, setting his affections on things above, hey, his heart is full of joy. Amen. You don't need somebody up there telling disgusting stories. Your heart's full of joy. He fills your heart with his joy. Amen. You don't need it. Solomon was trying to be happy, but he could not. Now, when laughter failed, look here, verse number 3. I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting my heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. Now, verse number 3, when laughter would not work, he then turned to alcohol. Solomon, now let me tell you something. Solomon was an alcoholic. You get that out of that verse. He was not an alcoholic, but he thought a little drink could help him with his problems. Let me tell you what, a little drink leads to a lot of drink. Amen? A little drink leads to a lot of drink. We are to have nothing to do with alcohol. I met a man one time, and I used to have some problems with my stomach. And God, I guess God took care of it. They don't have it anymore. But I used to have some problems. And I run into a guy, and he said, I'll tell you what would fix your problem. He said, just a little drink of alcohol every day. He gave me the name of it. It's turkey, something to do with turkey. But anyway, that's what he said. He said, just a small drink. He said, that would go down in there and cure those problems you've got. Well, I said, well, who's going to go get it? I said, all I need is somebody see me in Kroger's with turkey in my buggy. You know what that would look like? I said, no, God will take care of it. I don't need no turkey. Not unless the only one I have is a goblin. Amen. You see, folks, we need nothing to do with it. If we got stomach problems, God will take care of them if you trust God or give us something else. Amen. You see, we don't need it. Those things are what leads to problems. The sign up the road here. I don't know if you ever noticed it, the sign up here on this pub, whatever this place is right up here above Sheets. It says, liquor has, people say liquor doesn't solve your problems. And underneath it says, neither does milk. Well, I got news for them. That may be true, but milk sure ain't caused no problems. Amen. I've known liquor to cause a lot of problems. I've known liquor to break up homes. I've known liquor to cause death. I've known liquor to send people to hell. I've never known a little drink of milk to do such a thing. Let me tell you what, liquor is of the devil. And if you indulge in it, let me tell you what, eventually the devil will drag you down in the mud pit of that liquor. You'll find no satisfaction. You'll find no lasting satisfaction in that liquor. Drink the milk. Amen. Huh? I got to hurry. I got a long way to go, yeah. Lord. Let me tell you. Now, when searching for meaning and pleasure didn't work, look what he done. Starting in verse 4 through 6, he started looking for meaning in work. Now, he's still searching under the sun. Look at verse 4. I made me great works. I built me houses. I planted me vineyards. You see, Solomon got busy, didn't he? And he began building things to find happiness. He built houses. By the way, if you want to know what kind of house he built, go and read 1 Kings chapter 7. You see, he built his own house, and he had big time gardens and big time pools of water and orchards and fruit trees. And I'm telling you, let me tell you, he had all the best of anything you could have. But the problem was for Solomon. Let me show you something in these verses. When you go down through verse 4 and down through verse 6 and 7, you look how many times you find the word I. Solomon had an eye problem. He was stuck on himself. He no longer was looking to God. He was looking to him to stir up his own happiness. I can do it. I've got everything. Hey, he had reached the point where he thought he had everything and he could satisfy himself. And boy, he's finding out he's got an empty pot. You see, he had an eye problem. What he was doing for Solomon. He had forgotten God. You see, let's go on down and read them. He said, I made me great works, and I built me houses and planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. Well, he couldn't find pleasure in work. Now he's going to try to find pleasure in wealth. Verse 7. Through 11, I want to read these verses, and I want to share a few things with you, and I'll be done. Look at verse 7 through 11. I got me servants and maidens and had servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold and the peculiar treasures of the kings and of provinces. I gat me men singers and women singers and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments and that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor. And this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do. And behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit. And there was no profit under the sun. It was empty. Look here. Happiness, let me tell you something. Happiness has nothing to do with wealth. Nothing to do with wealth. One thing I found out is people. I thought recently about this lottery. This lottery got up in, what, billions of dollars, didn't it? And people were just frantic to get a ticket. I guess somebody somewhere won that money. I remember there was a lottery winner that won millions of dollars. And when it all came down to the end, it had caused him misery. He lost his family. A lot of them through death. I have a feeling that if he could go back, he'd say, "Don't give me that. It was empty. It was empty." You see, Solomon tried to find happiness in his wealth. I found out that the poorest of people are the people that are satisfied. You know what I've also learned? That it's the poorest of people that most time give the most. Luke 12 and 15, the Bible says, "And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth." You see, let me give you tonight an idea of how wealthy Solomon was. Go with me in your Bible to 1 Kings chapter 10. In 1 Kings chapter 10, we get an idea of just how wealthy this man was. And for lack of time, I'm just going to look at a couple verses. I wanted to read several verses. Well, I'll tell you, I'm going to anyway. If you need to go, you just have to go. But let me start in verse 14 and read down through 21. That's only about seven verses. But listen to this. In 1 Kings chapter 10, beginning in verse 14. "Now the weight of gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 603 talents of gold. Beside that, he had of the merchantmen and of the traffic of the spice merchants and of all the kings of Arabia and the governors of the country. And King Solomon made 200 targets of beaten gold. 600 shekels of gold went to one target. And he made 300 shekels of beaten gold. 3 pounds of gold went to one shield. And the king put them in the house of the forest of Lebanon. Moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory and overlaid it with the best gold. And the throne had 6 steps, and the top of the throne was round behind, and there were stays on either side on the place of the seat, and 2 lines stood beside the stays. And the 12 lines stood there on the one side and on the other upon the 6 steps, and there was not the like made in any kingdom. And all King Solomon's drinking vessels were of gold. And all the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were of pure gold. None were of silver. It was nothing accounted of in the days of Solomon." Verse 14, I want you to notice something very interesting. I had not known this until I studied this a little bit. Go back to verse 14 and look here. "Now the weight of the gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 600 threescore and 6 shekels of gold. You know what that is? That's 666. Six hundred and 66 shekels of gold. The number of death. The number of sadness. The number of torment. The number of the devil. Now, today's value, if you would go in today's value, 666 talents of gold would be over $300 million in today's value of gold. What you figure, and when you figure in all these other things that he talked about, Solomon in today's value was worth over $500 billion. But without God in the picture, what did he say it was? It was worthless. It was empty. It didn't mean anything to him. Tonight, if God's not in your picture, tonight, if you're looking for this world to give you satisfaction, you're going to come up empty. If all you're striving this world is to get more and more and more of this world, you know what will happen? You'll come up empty. You'll come up empty. Now, every one of us tonight, God has blessed more so than we deserve. But we must look beyond beyond this veil of tears. Look unto God, the author and finisher of our faith. And trust in God. And what God blesses you with, be thankful for. Maybe you're here tonight and God's blessed you with a whole bunch. You ought to be thankful for it. Maybe you're here tonight and God's blessed you with little. You ought to be thankful. Amen. For God has blessed you tonight. Because if you're looking at this world, you're going to find it empty. Solomon looked everywhere and he found nothing. He had everything, but yet he had nothing. You see, tonight if you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you have nothing. You have nothing. And if you're here tonight saved and you're trusting in the world, you don't have anything. You must trust in God. Tommy, come on, we're going to sing tonight.